We're going to the Word of God today and look at flowing with life's unwanted changes. Flowing with life's unwanted changes. After Jesus' resurrection, the church in Jerusalem grew massively and quickly. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 believers were added to the church. Can you imagine that? Going from 120 members to 3,120 members in just a matter of moments. It was great belonging to the early church in Jerusalem. The people loved each other. They met together often in fellowship. They enjoyed the apostles' teaching. God was performing miracle after miracle through the lives of the apostles. The people were just enjoying a taste of paradise. The church was in unity. The people were one in thought and in feelings. They readily shared their belongings with one another, with especially the poorer saints of Jerusalem. It was a cocoon of love and security. It was really a very, very good life for these early believers. The persecution that came later hadn't begun yet. And everyone was rejoicing. And another occasion after the day of Pentecost, some 4,000 were added to the body of Christ after Peter preached Jesus to them. It was just growing and growing and growing. It was truly a mega church. But soon after the church grew so large, the Bible says that a great persecution broke out against the church. And all the believers were scattered. In other words, this group of close-knit believers were scattered here and there. They had to run from the persecution. The Bible says godly men took the first Christian martyr Stephen to his burial. But worst of all, a man named Saul began to destroy the church. He began breathing out murderous threats against the believers. And they scattered. But did you know, in all this persecution, the believers in Jerusalem learned how to flow with life's unwanted changes. I mean, nobody wanted to happen what happened. No one would have ever asked Saul to destroy the church, but it happened. No one wanted this persecution, but it occurred. So they were scattered here and there, but they flowed with life's unwanted changes. Listen to Acts 8, verse 4.
Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went.
Instead of holding resentment against the Lord for not saving the church, the Bible says they went everywhere presenting Jesus. Instead of wondering about the validity of their faith and the reality of Jesus, they were scattered and went everywhere sharing Jesus with everyone they met. They flowed with life's unwanted changes. So, brother, sister, we have to do the same thing. Because life brings unwanted changes. Things that we never dreamed about happening happen. Disappointments come along our way. Unwanted changes strike us sometimes on the left and on the right. So we have to learn how to flow with life's unwanted changes. So here's what we do. First of all, we want to let Jesus help us flow with the stream of life. You see, our lives are like a flowing stream cascading down the side of a mountain or a hill. It's a stream that never stops. I mean, as long as we continue drawing breath, life is carrying us along, moment by moment, day by day, week by week, year by year. Life is like a stream that carries us along. Well, here's what happened to the early church in Jerusalem. You see, as they enjoyed the miracles that God was performing through the apostles, as they were enjoying the apostles' teaching, as they were experiencing this paradise church in Jerusalem, they became comfortable. They became confident. Things were going so well. The church was growing. It was a wonderful experience, but their confidence and their comfortable convenience kind of rocked them to sleep. And then the unwanted changes interrupted the flow of life. Saul attacked the church. The church came under great persecution, and suddenly there was an interruption in the flow of life. Well, that's what happens to us. Disappointment comes. A car wreck, an accident, an illness. A child goes through a divorce. A grandchild becomes ill. And suddenly, the flow of life, the stream of life, is interrupted by the unwanted. And so often we react, "No! Why is this happening? Why doesn't God help? Stop! Life, stop!" Because we want life just to flow along in an uninterrupted, changeless way. Well, Dee and I went through this when I lost my driver's license at age 29. I couldn't pass the vision requirements for driver's license, and so she became our driver. In summary, our life was interrupted. I remember soon after losing my driver's license, we made a pastoral call on a family who had begun visiting our church. He was the assistant superintendent of schools in our town, and we went to their home, enjoyed the visit, got acquainted with them. But when we left, the couple was escorting us to our car. Now, that wasn't a big deal, but it was in my mind. Usually people, you know, close the front door of their house, and we got in our cars and drove away. But not this day. This couple were escorting us to our car, and in my mind, I was fighting a battle. I was saying to myself, "Oh, I wish they would go back in the house. I don't want them to see that I can't drive. I don't want them to see that I'm dependent on my wife as my driver. And I so wish they would go back in the house." You see, life's flow was interrupted, and I didn't like it. I didn't want it. Well, I opened the driver's side door and let the Lord slide under the steering wheel, and I went around to the other side of the car and got in as the passenger. And we drove off. But my mind was in turmoil. So, brother, sister, I was unwilling to flow with the stream of life. But here's what I could have done, and here's what I had to do later on. There's another reaction whenever the stream of life is interrupted. There's another reaction we can choose. Instead of saying, "God, where are you? Why don't you help me? Why aren't you answering my prayers?" We can say, "Jesus, please help me simply yield to the stream of life and flow along with it. Help me to quit resisting the stream of life. Help me to quit trying to swim upstream whenever you want me simply resting and flowing with the stream of life, wherever it takes me." Well, that's what the early Christians did. Let's reread again the Acts chapter 8, and verse number 4. Here it says,
"Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went."
They simply flowed. They didn't waste their time trying to figure out why things bad had happened. They didn't waste time in self-accusation. No, they just picked up their belongings, ran out of Jerusalem, found another town to live in, and started witnessing about Jesus. Brother, sister, that's what we want to do. We want to flow and not fight the stream of life. Did you know God is the controller of your circumstances? He truly is. He is the controller of our circumstances. You know, Dee and I have traveled over the world and pastored military churches, or churches that are basically dependent on the military. And consequently, we've driven on to many bases, Air Force bases, naval air stations, army bases. And I've noticed that there's always a guard at the entrance to the base. He's there to check your documents or to send you to another building to get the proper documents. He's there to screen everyone who enters the base. Well, did you know that's a picture of what God does for you and me? Satan wants to throw this unpleasantness at us. He wants to bring us into this trial, that difficulty. But God stands guard over our lives. And He inspects every difficulty or unwanted change that Satan wants to bring into our life. He inspects our circumstances. And if those circumstances will prove overwhelming for us, if it will destroy us and kill us, He will not allow it into our lives. He will not permit Satan to bring anything into our lives that will kill us. Oh, sure, sometimes we feel like circumstances are going to kill us, but they're not. Because God only allows circumstances into our lives which will improve us, which will bless us, which will help us. So, we want to let Jesus strengthen our weak arms and our feeble legs whenever life's unwanted changes come along and we want to give up. Let's read Psalm 91, verse number 15.
He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him.
Did you hear the middle part of that verse? God said He will be with us in trouble. He will be with us when life throws unwanted changes into our path. He is the controller of your circumstances, brother, sister. Flow. Relax. Rest in the Lord. He's going to bring you through those troubled times, and He's going to bring you through, and you're going to be an improved person. Listen to the words of Jesus. John chapter 16, verse number 33.
I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Last part of that verse says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So, brother, sister, those circumstances are conquerable. You can win in whatever circumstances life brings to you because your God has inspected that circumstance and He has approved its entrance into your life. I don't care how severe, how hurtful, how unbelievably difficult, you can make it because God is the controller of your circumstances. Listen to these words from Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 16 and verse 17. I think we'll read verse 16 first.
Do not fear. Do not let your hands hang limp.
Listen to that. Do not fear, my brother, sister. God saith, child of mine, do not fear. Do not let your hands hang limp. Now, limp hands in the Bible represent giving up, giving in, being discouraged, surrendering to a downhearted life. He says, don't do it. Why? Well, verse 17 tells us why we should not fear and let our hands hang limp in hopelessness.
The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing.
He is mighty to save. He will rejoice over you with singing. So, brother, sister, please, just flow with life. Do what the Bible says. Rest in the Lord. Quit trying to figure it out. Quit trying to change things that are beyond your ability to control. It's under his control. So, we want to flow with the stream of life. And then, secondly, we want to let Jesus teach us a new stroke. When Dolores took swimming in college, the teacher told the class, if you'll learn 9 strokes, you'll get an A. 6 strokes, B. 3 strokes, a C. Well, Dolores learned her strokes. Backstroke, side stroke, Australian crawl. So, brother, sister, God wants to let us and help us learn a new stroke in life. He doesn't want us being one-stroke believers who flow along in the stream of life, swimming the same way all the time. You see, you will wear yourself out in swimming if you only use one stroke. A variety of strokes not only adds fun to swimming, but it also adds strength to you. I remember when I took a scuba course, our instructor wanted us to swim an Olympic-sized pool about 6 times. Well, that's a long way. It's a quarter of a mile or so. I hadn't swum that far in my whole life. But I learned that I could change strokes. I could swim on my back for a while. Then I could swim Australian crawl. Then I could swim on my side a while. And I made it. So God wants us to be believers who flow in the stream of life, but don't use the same stroke all the time. You see, whenever these believers in Jerusalem fled from the persecution, at first they were one-stroke believers. Yes, they were telling the gospel to their friends, but I want you to notice what it says about this gospel they were presenting. Acts 11, verse number 19.
Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled, telling the message only to Jews.
Now notice this. They fled from Jerusalem, but they were telling the message, the gospel, to only Jewish believers. They didn't believe Gentiles could be saved. Yes, they were doing a good job of witnessing, but they were limiting their witnessing to only Hebrews. They were one-stroke believers. But God wanted to use unwanted changes in their lives as an opportunity for them to learn a new stroke. So my brother, sister, unwanted changes in your life really represent an opportunity for you to learn a new stroke in life. It represents an opportunity for you to learn something different about life, learn something more about your God. If we just flow along in life, in the stream of life, and never encounter rough water, we will be very limited in our knowledge about God. We only learn about the Lord as we become people who swim more than one stroke. Okay, let's see what happened here to these early believers in Acts chapter 8, verse number 5. Notice what happens.
Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there.
There Philip, one of the Jewish Jerusalem believers, went to an area called Samaria. Here, these Samaritans weren't Jewish. And he began proclaiming Christ to them. He was learning that you don't have to be Jewish to be born again. And then look at the same chapter, Acts 8, verse 17.
Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit.
Here are the Jews, Peter and John, placed their hands on these new Gentile Christians, and they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Unbelievable it was to the Jewish mind that Gentiles could be born again and baptized with the Holy Spirit. But they were learning a new stroke. They were learning this stroke because they had to. You see, an unwanted change in your life will make you learn something new about life. The Lord and I had never started a church from scratch. We had always assumed pastorates of existing churches. But when we had to leave Japan because of my health, we didn't know what we were going to do. But God was wanting us to learn a new stroke. When we moved from Japan to Houston and lived in Houston for 6 months, not really knowing our next step in life, but we heard about a city that wanted a new church. So we took up the opportunity to start a new church from scratch. Zero people, zero finances. We started that church, which became known as Trinity Worship Center. We would have never started that church. We would never have experienced pioneering a new church had not life brought unwanted changes into us. So, brother, sister, please, unwanted changes are really opportunities for us to learn a new stroke, for us to experience life from a new angle, to add variety and excitement to our lives. Well, we want to make ourselves obey Isaiah 43:16-18. Whenever unwanted change comes along and forces us to learn a new stroke, we need to be aware of these verses of Isaiah 43. Dee, would you read for us, 16 through 18?
This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past.
Here God said to the Hebrew people, do you remember me giving you victory at the Red Sea? I defeated all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and army. You saw it. That was a great miracle, a tremendous miracle. And then notice what God said in verse 18. He said, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. He was telling them to forget the miracle that happened at the Red Sea. He was saying, I want to take you beyond that miracle. I have something better in mind for you. I have an experience superior to what happened to you at the Red Sea. See, a lot of us, we're holding on to past victories. We cling to those past victories as if they're going to last a lifetime. No, God wants to take us from one victory to another victory. But He only does it if we are willing to learn a new stroke as we flow along with life's stream. We want to ask God to open our eyes to hidden opportunities. We want to ask God to open our eyes to hidden opportunities that unwanted change brings along to us. After I was probably 35, 36 years old, I had to quit reading normal size print. Well, Doris became my reader. She would sit on the platform of our church, and I would preach the Word, and she would read the Word. Worked out great. But then she needed oral surgery, and her jaws had to be wired together for 9 weeks after the surgery. This meant that she could not read the scriptures during my sermons. Well, we didn't know what to do. But we asked a man in the church that we had never considered as a reader for me. And this man turned out to be a great reader. He had a voice of a disc jockey. In fact, I think Doris even lost her job. After her oral surgery and her jaws were unwired, this man continued reading for me. You see, there was a hidden opportunity in the unwanted change. We didn't want Dolores to have to quit reading for me. But the unwanted change opened our eyes to something new. So, brother, sister, please let Jesus teach you another stroke. Let him show you another way to run your business, another way to treat your family, another way to live your life. It will be better than the way things have gone in the past. Brother, sister, our salvation in the 21st century springs out of Jewish believers' willingness to flow with life's unwanted changes. You are a Christian. I am a Christian. We know Jesus as our Savior because the Jerusalem believers were willing to flow with life's unwanted changes. I want thee to read for us Acts chapter 11, verse number 20.
Men from Cyprus and Cyrene went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus.
That little verse tells us that the scattered believers who fled from Jerusalem began sharing Jesus with only Jews until they reached a city named Antioch. And Acts 11:20 says that there the Jews began sharing the gospel with Greeks, or that is, non-Jews. So you see, from that time forth, the church began sharing Jesus with people who were not Hebrews. So your salvation today, my salvation today, springs out of Jewish believers' willingness to flow with life's unwanted changes. Brother, sister, life is going to bring unwanted changes to every one of us. Let's accept the fact, but let's go on with God. Let's let him teach us new strokes in life. Let's let him strengthen our weak arms and our feeble legs. Let's let Jesus help us wait on the Lord and rest in our God so that we can flow along with the controller of circumstances. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We exalt you. We magnify you. And right now, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would give us a new resolve, a new determination to flow with life instead of resenting life or resenting you when it changes and we don't want it to change. Thanks, God, for victory. In your wonderful name, amen.